Welcome to our show, Examine Life, on KKRN at 88.5 FM in Bella Vista, Round Mountain.
I'm Steve.
I'm Pat.
Tonight, we're going to examine
something that all of us do all day, every day.
And since we're not grapes, it usually doesn't end well.
It's called aging.
Defined. Age as a verb is to cause to grow, feel or appear older, to mature. As a noun, a length of time during which a being has existed or a period measured from birth. And you age slower in some cases. For instance, if you're traveling very fast relative to someone who's not, you will actually age slower than them.
As an astronaut.
So exercise is very good for you.
Our oldest living American, in fact, is also the oldest person in the world living right now. She's a child of an ex-slave, Susanna Mushat Jones. She was born in July of 1899 in Alabama, and she's now 116 years old.
Wow, and it'll be 117 in July. Never had kids and says that she loves bacon.
So maybe bacon isn't all bad.
My kind of girl.
There's still hope. You know, they changed their mind on eggs. Maybe they're going to change their mind on bacon.
Yeah.
The oldest living man, she's the oldest living person. The oldest living man is Israel Crystal of Israel. He was born in September of 1903, and he is 115 years old.
And the oldest ever person that we're aware of was Jean Calment of France, who died at 122 years old in 1997. The oldest man ever was Jiroemon Kimura of Japan, who in 2013 died at 116 years.
The United States has 72,000 centenarians, the most in the world, and that's a lot. That's a lot of people that are 100 years old or older.
Did you say 72,000?
72,000, okay. Yeah. China has, they ran a study in China, their centenarians in a certain area of China. And the thing they found in common in their blood test was they had high levels of selenium and zinc.
Hmm. And they also were silver.
No, they weren't. Maybe they were silver. Oh, you. Okay.
I saw that on TV somewhere. Oh. Both minerals, of course, are earths. And this area is very low in selenium if you grow a garden or have grazing animals. Salt, selenium licks in block form.
They're usually out in pasture. Cattlemen know that this area is low in selenium. And so they provide these. Otherwise, cattle get a disease from that.
And women live longer, and there are some standard theories, larger hearts, less stress because of the workforce, don't eat red meat, get more exercise. But Thomas Pearls, who there are several researchers we may mention tonight who they're age researchers, and it's just a random selection of their choices for how they are trying to live longer. And in the case of Thomas Pearls, he believes that one of the reasons women live longer is actually iron deficiency, which he says iron stimulates cells to churn out free radicals. And so, you know, they contribute to cancer and other aging diseases. And women have their menstruation, which actually deprives them of iron or depletes their iron. And because of that theory, he tries to donate blood every 8 weeks as a method of living longer because he thinks the iron deficiency theory may have feet.
I think that might change here in the near future. The women now are the first generation who have worked their whole life that are now in their 60s.
There's a lot of housewives out there yelling at you right now.
Well, I'm talking about in the workforce. Women were not predominantly in the workforce until the 1940s. And so those women born in the 40s and 50s have been in the workforce most of their lives. And we know that one of the biggest contributing factors to aging is stress. And the work environment is very stressful. And women maintain a dual life. They have that stress at work, plus they're trying to raise a family, maintain a home, keep a husband happy. So their stress level has been elevated over the last few decades. And they may not live longer than men anymore.
But I see that as enabling behavior. If you do all the work all the time, you're enabling someone who's not helping. So the way to live a longer life is to quit being an enabler.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
How so?
men. They use that as an
excuse.
No,
make him hold up his end if that's the truth.
Yeah, you can't have kids either. So, you know, the
don't want to.
Stress of children is also, you know, we are the nesters. So we're the ones maintaining that nest and raising kids predominantly. So that's
an excuse for not living long.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, there's a lot of influences on aging. We're going to list a couple of them. We're going to discuss a good number of them. Things, time, diet, your outlook. If you're a pessimist or an optimist.
And interestingly, there are there's much research out there that proves not necessarily that these things help, but that people, these centenarians we're talking about and others who live long lives, tend to be people who are optimistic, who laugh a lot, who have good attitudes. And one of the strongest is actually people, and we're going back to Barbara Streisand here, people who love people. Tend to be people who live longer. People who are married, surprisingly, tend to be people who live longer. So my question has always been, since I learned of this research, if you mimic these behaviors, say you're not really a gregarious person, you don't really enjoy other people, but you make yourself be around other people and you do everything you can to enjoy it, and you try to have a positive attitude when you really feel negative. If you mimic these behaviors successfully, not faking it, but you successfully manage to mimic the behaviors, would you live longer, or is it a genetic thing that just happens to encapsulate biology and psychology?
Neurogenesis has already been proven. You do create new nerve cells and new pathways in your brain, and you can replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts and change your attitude from negative to positive.
That's true, but the question I'm asking isn't that. The question I'm asking is, does it happen to be that people are naturally like that also randomly happen to have a biology that extends their life, or is it the attitude? And before you say anything, no one's proven that. All they've proven is that the people have both.
But they've proven it in cancer patients. Those with positive attitudes have a much longer recovery. They have a better life after their chemo and radiation. Based on having a positive attitude. They've proven that already.
That's wonderful, but it's not aging.
But it contributes to aging. Think about it. If you can mind over matter, you might say, with something as destructive as cancer, you certainly can teach yourself to be positive.
Certainly.
And yes, you can.
Sounds like science research was done.
When you were young, everything was new. And so new challenges and embracing change can keep your brain cognitive function running.
Yeah. You know, when you were young, everything was new, which meant that learning was compulsory. You had no choice but to learn because you didn't know anything. You didn't know what a tree was. You didn't know anything. And so your every moment, which I think is why babies sleep so much, because sleep is part of the function of sleep, is to organize what you learn during the day. And when you're a baby, you sleep a lot because every time you open your eyes, it's something new. And so you just automatically learn. As we get older and we learn a lot, two things happen to us. One of them is we believe in many cases that we already know everything, so we don't need to learn anything. That's a red flag. And the other one is that we actually do know a lot, and so we need to find things to learn because learning is what actually builds those new interconnections in the brain. It's not just being smart. It's actually learning new things and having changing situations. That's what develops that neurogenesis.
And as we age, ironically, our brain gets better at vocabulary and somatic understanding. Very unique. You don't have to do anything for that. It just somehow, as the brain ages, you get better at that. Other things you have to work at.
And you have to think about the fact that if you are someone who wants to have a long life, I think you probably want to keep your cognition sharp because that life's not going to be very exciting if you're a little dim. And there's increasing proof through research that aging does not have to reduce your cognitive ability except in very specific and mild ways.
And this comes back to how you feel about your age and aging. If you're going to fight it every step of the way, then you're going to do these exercises for your brain. You're going to exercise your body. You're going to have a good diet and exercise. They now know that your personality generally doesn't change after age 30.
Or it doesn't have to.
Right. It doesn't necessarily. Or, you have to work at
right.
it.
Right. It can change, yeah, right. but it doesn't automatically.
Right. And they know that grumpy old men were
Wait a minute.
So that they were.
Grumpy
they were,
old people.
Yeah. That it says the grumpy old man idea is usually because life was shaped by events in their youth. It can be times that they go to war. That's why usually men, they're considered grumpy old men. It's just this generation of women that started going to war.
I'm not a curmudgeon. Get off my lawn.
Yeah. The poverty, many men now that are in their 80s were alive during the Depression. They lived in poverty. So they had harsh experiences, and that's why they're considered grumpy old men, but it really, that may not be their personality.
And it doesn't have to be that way. There, you can never really say truthfully that events shape you. All you can say is that you allow events to shape you a certain way.
Yes, and it's, again, your outlook, how you feel about age and aging and how you feel about life, your positive attitude.
And when Pat said that, it's profound, because whether you have an extended life or not, why have that life be miserable when you can change your attitude? You really can. I did an experiment once myself years ago. I had heard that if you smile, you can't stay angry. And I was in a bad mood. I was in my car. I was driving a Wrangler at the time. I was on the way to work, and I was grumpy. And I just, this thought came to my mind about having heard that. And so I deliberately, because I'm an experimentalist, I put a smile on my face, and it's true. First of all, you just feel kind of ridiculous. So you can't stay angry if you smile.
Studies have shown that easygoing, temperamental people may confer a survival advantage. University of California published a study that conscientious people were more likely to live longer. And they think it's because keeping promises, showing up on time, and sticking to goals helps you live longer because you have self-discipline.
Right. So, and it's like everything else, of course, if you're conscientious to the point of obsessive compulsion, that's not what we're talking about. Because
no.
that doesn't lead to happiness either.
No, you just pay attention more of what you're doing on a daily basis, so you're more conscientious.
And that's one of the other things they're learning is moderation, you know, in all things, which is a spiritual concept as well. But moderation, you know, you want to eat healthy food, but you can eat too healthy. You want to eat certain types of foods. You can eat too much of those or too little of others. So I think too many people are consumed with the idea of fat, and they don't eat any fat, and your brain is 70% fat, and I believe those people are on a course for danger.
I think as we age, we no longer worry about our status or what people think of us, but we're not talking about being skinny or slender or not being obese for what other people think. We're talking about it enhancing your life, the longevity of it and the quality of it as you age.
Right. And so that's one of the things that can lead to stress. When you're worried about status or what people think of you, that's a stressor. And it doesn't need to be. Stressors are things that you create, not things that happen to you. And status is one of those things that people can be consumed by and end up being very unhappy.
Faith and religion is also a very important part of aging. The idea of hope, particularly during a chronic disease or your declining health, if you become disabled, having faith and hope can be restorative and gives you the idea that you are going to get better. It helps you be more positive. If you have lost a loved one or you have concern for the health of a loved one in the family, this is also part of the aging process, but you need to pay attention to how it affects you.
Hope is a forward-looking kind of emotion, and you need to, you know, hope is based on something. Pat mentioned spirituality, and I contend that if you have no spirituality, then you're probably, you know, what's the point of any of it, actually? If you don't believe in anything greater, and I'm not saying you're good or bad or indifferent, I'm just saying, what's the point? If there is nothing bigger than yourself or nothing to look forward to, then in the end you die, and what's the point? So spirituality, I think, is powerful for, and that's why another group of people who tend to live longer are people who are spiritual.
And church can provide for you a social environment, even when you're aged. They're not judgmental of you. They make allowances for you if you're disabled or slow. Highly social people have a 50% better chance of survival than loners over a period of several years or under challenging circumstances.
People who love people.
That's right. So grandchildren, you're staying, even if you stay connected through Facebook with children, grandchildren that live far away, it's that connection. You don't feel isolated. And that's important in aging, that you do not feel isolated and insignificant because you don't have contact with people.
And there needs to be a purpose to life. Retirement is a killer for a lot of people because, you know, they believe they've worked hard and it's time to rest, and maybe they'll take up a hobby and say, well, I play golf every day, so I walk. Well, golf is anything that you enjoy doing but has no purpose or doesn't help other people or doesn't have relevance to other people. It's not going to help you stay young. It's when you remain relevant. And just having grandkids come and visit once in a while, that's not being relevant. It's something where you have a meaning to your life, a goal, things you need to do. Sometimes you feel like, well, I don't want to have to need to do anything anymore. But, you know, if you're not relevant, I think your brain sometimes can tell you it's time, there's no point.
And hobbies can actually bring you happiness. That something that you just did on occasion before because of your lifestyle and working and providing and all of that. Now, in retirement, you can pursue hobbies. You can do volunteer work. And volunteering has proven the more you do for others, the more you do for yourself. It eases stress, which lowers risk of disease and mortality. And also helps with pain because you're concentrating on someone else instead of yourself. So those things can be done in retirement that you might not have time for now.
So we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to be talking about nutrition in a little bit. Nutrition's a big part of how long people live. Nutrition and exercise. It's about 21 after the hour. This is KKRN, 88.5 FM on your dial in Bella Vista at Round Mountain.
Give me a kiss before you leave me, and my imagination will feed my hungry heart. Leave me one thing before we part. A kiss to build a dream on.
Join the discussion. KKRN boasts a variety of talk radio, both from local and syndicated sources. We want to stimulate thoughtful and meaningful conversation. KKRN can offer more real conversation because we are supported by listeners. You have a voice.
Make them believe they're true. Oh, give me your lips for just a moment, and my imagination will make that moment live.
The infinite possibilities of music are showcased by the eclectic panorama of song styles that you can find on KKRN Radio. You won't find our musical explorations on more mainstream commercially driven stations. From classic country to new age, from classic folk to classic rock, from blues to jazz, and music from outside our country. You'll find it all on KKRN listener-supported radio, radio that makes you listen.
You're listening to Examine Life, and tonight we're talking about aging.
I'm Steve.
I'm Pat.
Now we're going to talk about diet and nutrition.
And we all know we should...
Or actually, mostly on nutrition.
Yeah.
I think diet's a dirty word.
It is a four-letter word. But we all know we need to eat more veggies and fruits, the good oils, so that we get enough omega-3s. And we know the effect of too many carbs and sugars. Sugars are a terrible part of our diet, and they cause diabetes And diabetes, alcohol, and high blood pressure ages the body in a silent way that we don't even pay attention to.
And interestingly, two of our aging researchers that I had mentioned earlier who have different ways of trying to achieve a longer life, one, Cynthia Kenyon, who is 55, and she's a geneticist in University of California, she follows the low glycemic index diet, which limits things that quickly convert to sugar, like pasta, potatoes, those kind of things, and eats, you know, the meat, the vegetables, some fruit, and she says an occasional morsel of dark chocolate, but and a little bit of red meat and some red wine. And so the idea is the blood sugar doesn't spike and drop, which does harm to your system and affects your insulin production. Whereas we have the people that believe in the low-calorie diet, and there's been research shown that low-calorie diets for a lifetime can extend life. But when you dig a little deeper, you see that I remember seeing some of these people, videos of them during the study, which is decades old. And, you know, it didn't look like a long life was really all that much fun for them.
Well, some vegans often have a pallor to them because they don't balance their vegetable proteins appropriately. But
or people who eat these low-fat, low, you know, nothing but dry salad.
But they know, they've proven caloric restriction enhances brain function. It does help extend life. And we'll talk a little bit later about some of the mechanisms by how it does that.
See, and I think it's more about the right kind of calories. Personally, it's my belief. And I do think, by the way, that you should listen to your body when it comes to aging. Because we're all different blood types, and there are different nutritive realities for each person.
And we eat food for the nutrients, the vitamins and nutrients that come out of that food, the minerals and what have you. That's what really sustains us. We taste good, that's why we eat it, but the whole purpose of eating is to get the nutrients out of the food.
Right, and our bodies didn't evolve eating things like pasta and even wheat. Wheat became popular because people could grow it and get a lot of calories, but the bodies evolved prior to that. And they evolved on meats and vegetables and nuts and berries and things like that, not on things like wheat or even the big robust potatoes that we have today or rice. Those are all production foods which came after our bio economies evolved.
And we're going to talk, turn this around a little bit. All of these functions of eating, drinking, breathing causes oxidation of cells. It's actual rusting of individual cells in our skin, our bones, our hair, all of our organs. And all of this oxidation results in the shortening of telomeres.
That's right, which are basically like the knots on the end of ropes in terms of DNA. That's what keeps the DNA intact is those telomeres. They're knotted at the end, which keeps them stable and keeps them from fraying.
They're protein complex caps, and they protect our chromosomes, which is our DNA. And these get shorter with each replication of the cell. So every time that cell replicates, they get a tiny, tiny bit shorter, and you age a little bit.
And it's from those oxidants that causes
oxidation.
That fraying. They interact with those telomeres. And it's kind of like when you make a photocopy of something, and then instead of making another copy of it, you make a copy of the photocopy and a copy of the photocopy, and pretty soon you have a pretty bad image. And that's kind of what cell reproduction does for aging.
And the length of our telomeres determines our biological age, as opposed to our chronological age, how many years old we are. Biological age is how fast we're rusting on the inside.
And some people have their telomeres either seem to be stronger or perhaps they have a natural protection against antioxidants. I don't really remember if anyone has the details, but there are people who live longer and their telomeres just happen to be, they don't fray like ours.
It's been shown that antioxidants like vitamin A, C, and E reduces the oxidation rate and the shortening of those telomeres. They've proven that. They know that exercise reduces oxidation and promotes elevated expression of stabilizing proteins, and which those stabilizing proteins have a tendency to extend the telomere length. as does the caloric restriction. That helps lengthen those telomeres as opposed to constantly shortening them.
Well, and I think the mechanism is just that you don't burn the calories, so you don't produce the oxidants, so they don't damage the telomeres.
Yeah, but they know lifestyles like smoking, recreational drugs, excessive prescription medication, even adrenaline rush sports contributes to aches and pains of aging. This all shortens our telomeres because it accelerates the rate of oxidation.
Well, sure, but it's all basically still the same mechanism.
And inflammation, right. Think about it. All of these things cause oxidation and inflammation.
Like smoking, for instance, you know, your body is actually one of the reasons people gain weight when they quit smoking. The research shows it's not just because they eat more food. Their metabolism changes. But part of the reason it changes is because their body isn't having to expend the calories to protect itself from the smoking.
Yes. And they, you know, a lot of things, even prescription medication, can cause fatigue. It can cause the depletion of vitamins and nutrients that our bodies need. And we don't even realize it because we assume the doctor knows everything about those medications, but there's often interactions and side effects, and all of these things affect that oxidation inflammation rate.
That's right. So natural is better. People say, well, you know, our foods don't have the nutrients that they used to have, but you can supplement things, but you need to eat healthy food. And I'm just not a fan of too much calorie restriction. The type of calorie restriction they're doing in this research is very, very highly restricted. And remember that the point of living is to enjoy life. And if you are someone who likes to eat food, then restricting your calories, you may live to be 100, but are you going to be a happy 100?
Well, they know to counter this oxidation and inflammation, there are antioxidants, and like you talked about, the vitamins. But there are things like even magnesium and calcium, which prevent osteoporosis. A lot of these prescription drugs decrease our magnesium and potassium in our blood, and that causes side effects, and now you get another prescription. So pay attention to the nutrients.
Well, and pay attention that your doctor is not just prescribing medication, that there aren't other options. And nowadays, the way medical payments are being made by payers like Medicare and so on, they're basically paying that doctor for enough time to give you a pill.
Right.
So you need to challenge that, and you need to say, what can I do? And, of course, a lot of people are lazy about their medicine. They don't ask, what can I do? They just want a pill.
I had a cardiologist once say that he was from Europe, and he was talking about the American, and I asked about, is American diet's really that bad? And he goes, the problem is Americans have a lack of magnesium and boron and vitamin D3 in their systems and don't even realize it. And doctors don't pay attention to that so much. So those are two big contributing essential nutrients that we need, that we should be getting out of the sunshine and the food we eat, but apparently we don't.
Well, also remember that everybody's different. We talked about the woman who lived to be 116 and loves bacon. Keep in mind that for some people, bacon is probably not a good thing. For others, it's just not harmful. And so you need to learn to understand your own body and what are its nutritional requirements. I know people who do eat pastas and things like that, but they also are extremely active and burn it all up. I don't know if that's healthy or not, but the point is that for them, those things are much healthier than they would be for me.
And, you know, even our skin thinning is a sign that we're losing its elasticity. We get indigestion. We get heartburns. All of this stuff starts happening to us. And you don't have to have a drug prescription. You can use herbs to help with this. And there are natural paths that you can see. They're a doctor of natural medicine instead of, it's the Eastern style of medicine, instead of just writing a pill. So these things are effective. Acupuncture is effective.
But before you even go to those, you know, why are you getting indigestion? Why do you have this problem? Is there something you're doing where instead of adding anything to what you're doing, an herb or a medication, should you just not be doing the other thing that's causing it?
I found, ironically, by sheer chance, that caffeine started causing heartburn. And I had drank caffeine for years. And then all of a sudden, I noticed I was always having heartburn. And then by sheer dumb luck, I had gone without it on vacation or something and realized, gee, the heartburn vanished when I stopped drinking caffeine. And I tested it a few times, and sure enough, that's what it was.
And it wasn't the coffee, it was caffeine.
The caffeine. It was just the caffeine. So you never know. Your body changes, and you need to pay attention. Resveratrol in wine, because it comes from the red grapes, one of those researchers talked about resveratrol and how beneficial it was. He said a compound found in the skin of red grapes wines has eaten and gotten his wife to start on it. It makes life seem longer, he says.
Well, it was what he's talking about. David Sinclair is a professor of pathology at Harvard. He's one of the aging researchers I talked about before. He takes resveratrol, a compound found in red grapes. And the reason he does it is that it helps with those antioxidants and so on, and it may activate a family of longevity-related enzymes. But specifically, he says that instead of eating the low-calorie diet, he does it with the resveratrol, which I was talking about earlier, because what he was mentioning about long life was that by restricting his calories, he wasn't enjoying life, and so life seemed longer. So instead of doing that, I'll have the resveratrol and my food that I like.
Yes.
So you can balance. You can eat healthy food, but don't restrict your calories so much. Eat food that's good for you and balance it with a lot of antioxidants and so on. It just depends on what you want for your life because, again, if you're restricting your calories and you're miserable, do you really want to live that long?
Well, remember, again, we need those vegetables and those fruits. We can't just eat the things we love. Vegetables and fruits are our basic source of vitamin B, all the B complex vitamins. They treat our nerves. Vitamin B3 has shown to feed our mitochondria to fight fatigue, as does CoQ10. And CoQ10 is often depleted by those prescription medications. They're finding curcumin, the main ingredient of turmeric, is beneficial to our bodies. Boswellia, which is a natural pain herb, that maybe you can wean yourself off high doses of these pain medications by using a different one. A lot of these medications have side effects that many herbs do not have because the herb comes from a whole plant, and the synergistic effect of the many compounds in the herb is beneficial and counteracts any bad ingredients. So where prescription medication has isolated a particular ingredient that they put in to get the prescription as a prescription.
And in your nutrition, you need a sufficient amount of protein. The research has been done that if you have 30 to 40 grams per meal throughout the day, you may retain more lean muscle mass as you grow older. And muscle does more than just strengthen you. Muscle actually changes your metabolism and supports a lot of other bodily functions. Muscle has a biochemical effect on the body, not just a mechanical effect.
And the omega-3s are critical. These are your salmon, your even avocados. All of these are critical oils that you need and substitute them for the bad oils. They're now finding that omega-7s help with the fat-burning enzymes and reduces the new fat synthesis in the body. Thus, it fights those metabolic disorders, which underlie diabetes. The Cleveland Clinic has done a number of these studies, and they now consider omega-7 as a lipokine. Is that how you say that?
I have no idea.
Okay. Collagen is the glue that connects our tissues. It keeps our skin subtle. It keeps our joints moving. It gives structure and strength to skin and muscle. And these omega-3s are critical to our bodies in that fashion, as well as our amino acids and peptides.
Just remember, too, that whenever we talk about foods or herbs or anything else, that everybody is different. And it's like coffee, for instance. I find that coffee has great health effects on me. And I'm in my 60s, and I still find the same thing, and I drink a fair amount of coffee. So everybody is different, and what works for one person may not be the same for you. You need to do your research and then listen to your body.
And this is where a naturopath can help you with the herbs. You can do research on the internet, but make sure that you get a confirmation through another website or two or three so that what they're talking about is, in fact, what might be beneficial to you. And then consult with a naturopath.
And remember that most herb productions are actually not controlled by the government. So you have no proof just by it. Because it's made by someone does not mean that it actually contains what it says. It's, you know, even drugs, I don't think, are regulated as well as they could be. But herbs just don't have a controlling agency that makes them put in there what they're telling you they're putting in there. So you need to do the research.
And Ayurveda medicine has been around for thousands of years. And they have herbs like ashwagandha, which is a rejuvenating herb that helps with stress, anxiety, mood enhancer, these types of things. But again, you need to know the dosage that you need as an individual. So it's in the tomato family, so it should be fine. But there are a lot of people that can't do tomatoes. They have a reaction to that whole family. Deepak Chopra, if anyone knows anything about Ayurveda medicine, they know him, calls it an adaptogenic herb. So you have to do research on these things.
And always ask if the doctor that's talking about them to you has any financial interest in the herb they're recommending. I just always find those kind of conflicts of interest contrary. And keep in mind now, remember, you watch these movies and videos about the people who live to be 110 and they say, yeah, I eat bacon and fat back every day. So keep in mind that the things we talked about earlier about attitude and so on, all of those things contribute to living a longer life.
The two main things that are contribute to aging, they have found, is inflammation and oxidation. And the thing that causes both of those to accelerate is stress. So stress accelerates those two, which accelerate your aging. If you can manage your stress, do it whatever it takes. If it's meditation, if it's herbs, if it's medication, try managing your stress. Learn to manage your stress, and it'll slow the aging process for you on the inside.
That's right. Remember, we've talked about all the nutrition. We still have more to say about that. We have to talk a little more about exercise. But understand that one of the scientists that we talked about, Felipe Sierra, who's 56, he's a molecular biologist at National Institute on Aging, he's not real impressed with all the research being done on aging right now. And so he believes that what he does is he laughs a lot, and he says that makes a big difference. So keep that in mind. It's a mixture of things. Eat in moderation. Eat the right things in moderation. Laugh a lot. Be happy. You know, a great man once said, don't sweat the small stuff. And by the way, it's all small stuff. In the big picture, it really all is small stuff if you put it in context.
And laughing releases enzymes and endorphins that relieve stress. So, you know, go to a funny movie. Watch funny television. Talk to young kids that are do goofy jokes. I mean, you find yourself laughing and the stress just melts away. And that's what it's all about, is stress management.
There's a movie that Ed Asner starred in called Anatomy of an Illness. Find that movie and watch it. It's a true story about a Norman, I never can think of his last name. He was either a publisher or something, but he had a disease that always ended up the same way, and he refused to accept that, and he used emotions and laughter and positive attitudes, and he actually beat the disease.
One of the prescription medications that are out there right now that they're doing a lot of study on regarding aging is...
Studies regarding aging.
Yes, the medication. It's called Metformin.
Oh, yeah, Metformin. It's used for diabetes, and... they're actually trying, there's some issues with metformin that they want to stop depending on it so much for controlling of diabetic symptoms and blood sugars and so on. But, and I don't have a lot of detail, but some of the aging researchers are finding that metformin may actually be a miracle drug for aging.
And it's based on, there's a protein enzyme called AMPK that is activated by Medforum. And this increases the production of mitochondria that generates energy for us. So it goes back to that, you know, the switch that turns on our energy, our metabolism. And they're finding that this AMPK is one of the triggers for that.
Right. You breathe in oxygen as an oxidizer. You take in nutrients, and some of those nutrients are fuels. And they, you know, a lot of it's just sugar. Basically, you need a lot of nutrients, and you don't want straight sugar. But sugar is what the oxygen burns, and that's what provides the energy. And that takes place in the mitochondria, research shows now that mitochondria were probably actually individual organisms that invaded the cell and became an organelle. Originally, it was another organism. And that comes from your mother's DNA, and that's where all this oxidizing takes place, and that's where those oxidants come from.
This AMPK substance is also reduces inflammation that leads the kind of inflammation that leads to metabolic syndrome. Thus, it reduces your insulin resistance and the glucose load from the liver. That's why it's used for prediabetes. But that's also part of the magic of it helping with aging. Again, we talked about inflammation and oxidation. This stops that from happening and helps the body regenerate and repair DNA.
And the theory is that the reason the low-calorie diet works is because a lot of people provide so much nutrition to their cells, and I'm probably one of those, that the cells are kind of overwhelmed, and that chemical is not activated properly as it is. It's more active in young people anyway.
And it's also the only way that you can actually generate it yourself is by severe exercise. This is exhausting exercise, and which also moves the lymph through your system. The lymph system is independent from your blood and nerves, and that lymph fluid is only moved through heavy activity.
And those who don't want to exercise just have to face the fact that your body is designed to do that. And it's not so much that it was somehow built to make exercise important. It's the fact that exercise just is part of the system, and so when it's not being utilized, the system is not going to work properly. And I want to talk a little bit about exercise and what some of the ways that you need to do it, some of the truths that people don't want to hear. There are four ways. This is from the National Institute for Aging. There are four ways to be active. To get all the benefits of physical activity, you need to try all four types of exercise: endurance, strength, balance, and flexibility. And first of all, you have to build up at least 30 minutes of activity that makes you breathe hard on most of or all days of the week.
That's the endurance part.
Right. And people are told by their doctor, well, you know, just get out and walk. Now, if you're sitting on the couch all day, getting out and walk is a good idea, but it's not the end goal. You need to be out of breath. It builds your energy and your staying power. You don't necessarily have to do it all at once. If you're one of those people who's morbidly obese or you're just really weak and you tell me, well, you know, I walk to the door, I'm out of breath, so what can I do for a half an hour? Well, you walk to the door, you get out of breath, you rest, you catch your breath, and you walk to the door again, and you do that till your half hour's done. There's no way around it. Exercise is exercise, and just ambling down the road is not exercise.
There's a slogan: if you can talk without any trouble at all, you're not working hard enough. If you can't talk at all, you're working too hard.
And it's very simple. You just need to be within that envelope. And another thing that people don't understand, muscle building activity is so good for us folks that get older. It's besides just the strength, the things that muscles do for your biochemistry and for your metabolism, and you need to do strength building exercises. You need to do weightlifting. You don't want to be a bodybuilder, but you need to do strength building exercises. Yeah. And they will make you more flexible, they will make you more healthy. They change all of your enzymes and your biochemistry. And it's amazing. They've taken people that were completely immobile from arthritis and simply through weightlifting have made them mobile and ambulatory again.
And it is critical to your flexibility and your strength. Muscle strength is important as you age. It keeps you more agile. Exercise slows the aging processes and causes the repair process to initiate because the endorphins that are generated from exercise. It enhances your mood, and it gives you a more positive outlook, and it gives you the desire to do things.
And you know what's interesting? Exercise, vigorous exercise, enhances your cognitive ability. And such things, for instance, walking doesn't do nearly so much for your cognitive ability as walking briskly does. So again, it's if you're the type of person who wants to do everything slowly, you can do weightlifting that way, but if you're going to do walking, it's got to be brisk walking. And again, you need to get out of breath. You need to walk uphill. You need to, you know.
One of the dangers of aging is osteoporosis. And we only build bone mineral density up until about the age of 25 or 30. Exercise maintains that strength. You can't build it anymore, but you can keep it strong. And a study done at the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston has proved this out. You don't build any more bone density after about age 30.
No more bone density.
No, all you can do is keep the bone you have strong. You always replenish it, but if you don't do any exercise, it will deteriorate.
Well, that's true. Yeah, the exercise, it's just essential for so many things. And again, it's just natural. Our bodies evolved in an environment where we were always moving and doing things. And so that's just passively part of the system, and you have to keep doing that.
And balance is important so that you don't fall, and exercise helps you maintain balance. Learning to stand on one foot as a kid was a challenge. Well, as you age, it becomes a challenge again to stand on one foot. You have got to be able to maintain that balance.
A lot of it is as we get older, we just take life easier because we want to. And so things like maintaining balance and so on, you're just used to walking slow, riding in cars. You just don't do it anymore. We need to challenge ourselves as we get older. The challenge is what the body and the mind always seem to be looking for. Cognition is very important. If you live to be 150 and half of that time you're very dim and slow and can't comprehend anything, what's the point?
Duke University did a study that found lifestyle choices in our youth can determine our rate of aging. And we're talking about biological aging. That's on the inside of our organs and how our immune system functions, not our chronological age. And those can be determined by blood biomarkers, and it can detect accelerated aging in this study. And it says if you're less physically able as a kid, it showed cognitive decline and brain aging as well as makes you look older at age 38. So as a kid, so you can start changing that back by just starting to exercise, even if it's at age 38.
Right. Yeah. I myself was probably 20 years older than I am now at about age 33, 34, somewhere around there. You can make a big difference in your life by changing attitude, changing your habits, changing what you eat, changing when you eat.
And dental care after you eat. It's important. They've proven that dental, if you have gum disease, that chronic bacteria in your mouth can cause heart.
Well, actually, the bacteria can cause problems, but one of the big dangers of having gum disease is that there's bleeding going on and you form blood clots, and those can go to your heart and your lungs and actually kill you.
Well, the bacteria from food in your mouth causes inflammation. And again, that is a critical part of aging, is oxidation, inflammation, all of that on those individual cells ages them.
But you'll notice that they ask you if you have heart disease when you go to the dentist, and it's because if you have gum bleeding, you can form blood clots, which can go to your heart or go to your lungs.
Yes.
And so it's a double-edged sword.
Have your teeth cleaned on a regular basis. Brush your teeth and floss. It's critical to aging, believe it or not. I know it's hard, but we have to do it.
Take it from me. Take care of those teeth.
Eyes, there is a new treatment for macular degeneration using a drug used to treat cancer that slows the growth of new blood cells, meaning abnormal blood cells. blood vessels growing under the retina can leak and cause the damage. They also have a new artificial retina implant that is available. All those trials are already done.
Right. There are a lot of things they can do. You know, they're getting new knees all the time. Now I've seen a new procedure where they inject into your knee. It's not so new anymore, but they're coming up with new versions of it where they can replace the cushion now. The message here being that if you take care of yourself, if you're one of those people who wants to live a longer life, take care of yourself now because miracles are coming if we don't destroy the medical system with our politics.
And again, you know, even ears, they have all the new ear implants. They have a way now, there's a clinical trial for a drug that regenerates those hair cells within the cochlea. So there's hope that, you know, you can regenerate your hearing. They now have a new breakthrough in paralysis where the brain implant connects to the brain on the outside of the skull, and there is a cord that runs down and outside the body to pass the damaged area in the spinal column, and then it reconnects below that point so that you can get back some movement. So this is cutting-edge clinical trials. So keep your body as healthy as you can so when those major changes come through, you can take advantage of them.
Right. There are a lot of people who, because they were told, you know, you'll never walk again, that the physical therapy went away and the legs are so atrophied that if they do regain the use, it's not going to do them any good.
And let's run through real quick the seven pillars to delay aging. Again, control or adapt to stress so that it doesn't impact you. The aging process is the underpinning of getting old. And these seven pillars were defined by the Trans NH Geoscience Interest Group.
And remember that adapting your thinking is a better way to manage stress than trying to control stress. You can't control it. You can control how you think about things.
And one thing we didn't touch on too much, but they listed epigenetics. And this is how the environment affects our gene activity. And these are things like toxic load. Our liver has two major enzymatic liver detox systems. And a lot of the drugs we take actually harm our liver. So these are things to keep in mind. Sugars overload our liver. These are things that are important. That toxic overload causes that accelerated inflammation and oxidation.
And epigenetics is a lot of what causes some of our birth defects, is introducing. There are certain times during the birth cycle, the gestation cycle, where they're extremely vulnerable to external causes.
Like the Zika virus right now they're talking about on the news.
Chronic inflammation.
We talked about. Number four is DNA damage. And green tea, which is very inexpensive, very readily available, it promotes DNA repair. It's the DNA damage is a degenerative aging is the result of the accumulation of those pathological processes inflicted on our cells, tissues, and organs. Oxidative stress can be controlled with green tea. Green tea has 15 polyphenols that target 200 human genes for repair. And if you don't drink tea or you don't like the taste of it, you can get it in a powder form and stir it into a smoothie or stir it into Greek yogurt. So the green tea has a lot of benefits for us. Number five?
If you're not allergic to caffeine.
That's right. That's why I have to use
number
the powder.
Five, metabolism disorders. Why the benefits of caloric restriction works and herbs, green tea extracts, etc.
Again, helps with our metabolism of sugars.
But keep in mind, you know, people tend to overdo things and caloric restriction can be harmful. Your body is a machine and it needs fuel. It needs the right kind of fuel and it needs the fuel at the right time. And you need to do the exercise and so on to process the fuel. So I'm not a big fan of the idea of the research that they're doing that they have done for the last 40 or 50 years, because those people are on severely restrictive diets, And I just don't know that the human animal was made to be on a diet like that.
Number six is proteostasis, and this is the process that regulates and maintains proper protein function within each cell. And number seven is stem cell regeneration, and that goes on in our bodies all the time. And we need to, again, the diet, the exercise helps renew and replace damaged tissue in our body with new stem cell regeneration. Let's see, what else can we touch on real quick?
Well, California's a right-to-die state.
Some people consider this assisted suicide, but it is the doctor, it's a very long process, but a doctor with a combination of another doctor, they can give a prescription medication that can cause death.
The other thing I want to talk about is the idea of living a long life. You know, I think you all we all owe something to our community. I don't believe we owe it through our government, by the way, but that's a different show. We all owe something to our community, and part of that is that if we're going to live a long life, we should take care of ourselves so that we can be productive and not have other people have to take care of us because of our choices. I really believe it's our responsibility, and we should be a little ashamed if we're allowing our health to deteriorate because we want to make bad choices.
Many of us, not through bad choices, but through accidents or degeneration or other chronic diseases, wind up in long-term care or assisted living. And there are care facilities that are skilled nursing home care. There are all different varieties of these choices. So if you have someone in the family, you need to start looking at those choices that may have to come along.
That's right. It looks like they're wanting us to go off the air. So I hope the show's been informative tonight. A very famous man once who died of COPD recently said, "Live long and prosper."
Good night.
This has been Examine Life.
66535 or in Big Valley at 294-5241. Medi-Cal, Medicare, and private insurance are all accepted. There is a sliding scale available. On the web, mountainmtnvalleyhc.org. Thanks, Mountain Valley, for supporting KKRN.
Programming on KKRN Community Radio is brought to you in part by Les Schwab Tires in Burney. Les Schwab is an independent tire dealer in business since 1952. Les Schwab in Burney offers tires, brakes, alignments, wheels, batteries, shocks, and even automotive parts. Les Schwab is located at 37462 Main Street in Burney. Quotes or appointments can be made by calling 335-2251, or their selection can be seen online at leschwab.com.
Welcome to Jazz Variations with Tonia King.
Thanks for tuning into the show today. Visit our website at jazzvariations.com to find out all about the program. And don't forget to like us on Facebook if you are a Facebook person. Our CD Spotlight always starts the second hour, and that's where I get to showcase a brand new release. Today, an amazing guitarist, a legend in the jazz world, Lee Ritenour. He has a new project out. It's called A Twist of Rit.